thank our brother Garth for his kind words of welcome here to Sandown Row. And it is a great privilege to be here tonight in the meeting to share a word of testimony and to tell of the Lord's saving grace and his mercy in my life. So I'm delighted to be here tonight. I'm glad my son-in-law David done the driving tonight, for I'm not sure where I would have ended up. And I could have ended up anywhere. But I do thank him for coming tonight. And good to renew fellowship with our brother Garth as well. When I was in Kesh many years ago in Fermanagh, our brother preached for me many times. And he ought not to be putting himself down, because the people enjoyed him very much, his ministry and his preaching. So I trust the Lord will bless tonight a few words of testimony that I want to bring here in the meeting. And above all, I do pray sincerely and hope that if you're not saved tonight, that this will be the night when you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. For you need to be saved, and you need to come to Christ, and you need to be ready for eternity. It's an awesome thing, and I've been thinking about this more and more recently. It's an awesome thing to think about eternity, where we're going to be in eternity. For our time here is short. It is just a blink, that's all it is. James reminds us, what is your life? It is just a vapor that appears for a little time and is gone. Dear soul, you need to be ready for to meet the Lord. That verse came into mind there as well as we were singing. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Think well upon it tonight. Think well upon and earnestly upon this great salvation that the Lord has provided for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to read a portion of scripture now tonight. I'm very glad to see our brother Dines as well. Just notice Dines there as well and his dear wife, and good to see Dines. We were in college together and shared fellowship together. He was much smarter than I was, so he got far better marks than me. We want to read a passage of scripture from Romans and the chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, a familiar passage of scripture. But yet what a mighty passage it is. Romans chapter 3 and the verse 9. Romans chapter 3 and the verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved that both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We'll end our reading there at the verse 24. We thank God tonight for his precious word that he has given to us and that we have before us tonight. Let's bow briefly in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, for this gathering and this meeting tonight. For all who have come, O God, we praise thee. We thank thee, Lord, for the freedom that we have to meet together, to sing thy praises, and to meet under the sound of the gospel. We thank thee for these things. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation, for your servant here, Reverend Wilson, wife and family. Do bless him. We ask, Lord, undertake for him in this whole area, and as he continues to minister the word of the Lord, may he know the blessing of God and the good hand of the Lord upon him, and give him many souls for his hire. Oh, bless tonight. May the person of Christ be uplifted. May the Lord Jesus be glorified in our midst tonight. He must increase and we must decrease. Help me, Lord, these few words of testimony. Help me above all for to speak well of the Savior and to bring glory to his name and to uplift him tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're delighted to see everyone in the service tonight here in the meeting. And thank you all for coming. And I want to share a few words of testimony to the Lord's goodness and mercy in my own life. This passage of scripture here that we've just read together is what we might call a great leveler. A great leveler. Because it brings all down on the same plane. There is no difference. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. No matter where we come from, whatever our background might be, all have sinned. That's the great plane we're all on. No one is ever born a Christian, men and women. But we're all born sinners. And we all stand in need of the second birth. For except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And of course, it reminds us also that none can boast at all. We have nothing to boast of. Again, we're all brought down to this level, this plane. What have we got to boast or brag about? You're saved tonight. You're saved by the grace of God and by his grace alone. And so I know this is true of every Christian, of every child of God. We all can say, and we say it truly, our boasting is in Christ Jesus. For the Lord has done great things for us. And this is part of my testimony tonight. I have nothing whatever to boast of. The reason I'm here tonight in Sandown Road, giving a word of testimony, is because of the Lord's mercy and of God's love in dealing with me and saving me. He might have passed me by and left me in my sins and blindness and darkness. But thank God that there was that day and hour when he reached down and saved me. But as we think of a testimony tonight, whether it be whoever's given the testimony, there's one thing is very important, I do believe. Yes, a testimony must have, there's a commencement, there's a beginning to every testimony. Whether we may not be able to just pinpoint exactly the hour, but nevertheless, we know in whom we have believed. There was a time when that work of salvation, of regeneration took place in our hearts. Conversion. But there's another very important thing, and I've been thinking about this. Yes, we can look back to a day and to an hour, a time, but there's also, there must be progress, there must be a going on with God. We must go on with the Lord. That's part of a testimony as well. It's all very fine talking about what happened back in 1975 or whatever date, whatever the year might be, in our own experience. And we made a decision, made a profession. That's fine. But I want to challenge you tonight, dear child of God, and I speak to me, I need this as well. Are we going on with God? Are we praying? Is there life? Is there zeal? Is there witnessing? Are we seeking to get souls in? Are we praying? Are we out at the prayer meeting? Are we going on with God? This is an awful day in which we live, a day of coldness and a day of backsliding. God help us, we who name the name of Jesus, help us to go on with the Lord and to love the Lord, because we are nothing if we do not love the Lord. That's to do with the inner life, hasn't it? The inner man. Love to God, love to Christ, and a life that is yielded to Him. Dear Christian, I may be speaking to somebody in the meeting tonight, and perhaps you've grown cold and gone back. Let me encourage you. I'm not here. Who am I to come down anybody with a big sledgehammer, as it were? Let me encourage you. The Lord loves you. Pick up again. Move on with God. He's married to the backslider. And be encouraged in the things of the Lord. And I pray tonight, if you're not converted in the meeting, please think upon eternity. Don't be a fool. Think upon eternity. Young person tonight, you can be saved. And you can live for the Lord. And a life lived for Him and spent for Him is the best life of all. Especially in this dark age in which we live, in this world. What an awful age we're living in, of sin and depravity and everything else. Give your heart wholeheartedly to Him. Give yourself to Him and live for the Lord. God is able to save you. And He's able to keep you as well, no matter what the temptations and trials might be. Now, I was brought up in a home way down the south of Ireland. I'm sure you guessed that already. The very minute it opened me, we would say, "Open me, gob." You could tell that. But I didn't have the privilege of growing up with the gospel or with the word of God. Born into a Roman Catholic home way down there in County Kilkenny, way down the Midlands. Baptized into the Church of Rome and all the rest, christened. Went to the Mass, brought along by my mother faithfully every Sunday, and had communion and confirmation and all the rest. With no Bible in our home at all, wouldn't have known what a Bible was. No gospel, never heard the gospel that I needed to be saved, and that salvation was by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I knew nothing whatever of the gospel, just darkness. Back in those days, back in the 70s, and even way back before that, I wish I could tell you I was born in 1970, but I'm afraid I have to go back much further than that. And at that time, things have changed a great deal, but everyone went to church on the Sunday. And so my mother brought us along every Sunday faithfully. No matter what the weather was or whatever the conditions, we were brought along to the chapel every Sunday. And never knew anything else. There we sat, and priests come out and said Mass and read prayers, and that was it. And we went home again. When I was a young lad of about, I'm not sure maybe what age, it could have been 10 or 12 or thereabouts, or maybe younger, I remember the priest coming down to the school, little country school that we were in, out in the country. And there was some young lads chosen for to go and serve Mass upon the altar. And I was one of the ones chosen. We had an awful time because we were all country fellas. And back then we had to reply in prayer. We had to reply to the priest, make our replies in Latin. And we struggled with English, let alone Latin. And we had to learn these prayers off by heart and so on. And it was an awful, awful business altogether, trying to learn these Latin prayers. And there in the vestry, we had jobs to carry out as well. We had to prepare the wine for the priest. There was a great big cupboard, big press, and it was full of bottles of wine. It was all for the altar. And that's where, believe it or not, it's an awful thing, but that's where we started to drink. Because we helped ourselves to the odd little glass, only small little glasses. But that's where we helped ourselves to these little glasses of wine before the priest came in. And so that was the rigmarole that we went through. And then we had to prepare for communion. First communion, which was a very big event. And we had to learn the catechism. And the big occasion was receiving the communion, the wafer. And we were told to be very careful that we would not touch the wafer with our teeth or bite the wafer. It had to remain on the tongue. You may say to me, well, why was that? What was the reason for that? Well, we were told that if we touched the wafer, that it would turn to blood in our mouths. That's what we were told. And I can remember that first time as a young lad going up, and I was terrified thinking that that would happen if I touched the wafer with my tongue. Because the belief, of course, it is the actual, contains the body and the blood of Christ. And that's what we were told. So the years passed by and we left the altar and all that sort of thing, and I went to work, young age, for a while, for a farmer. He was a Church of Ireland man at home in the village. But thank God he was a saved man, because he knew the Lord. And he used to testify very openly about how the Lord had saved him. And he was the first man that told me my need of salvation, that I needed to put my trust in Christ for salvation. Never heard it before. Didn't understand it. That's the darkness. That's the awful darkness, you see, of Romanism. It is a dark, dark religion. It's a religion of works and of merit and doing your best and hope for the best at the end. But thank God tonight, men and women, that the gospel is a gospel of grace and assurance. It's a gospel of assurance. And whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what the word says. And he that believeth on him will not be confounded and will not be confused. The mercy of God is sure in Christ. His salvation is sure. It's a present possession to all who trust in the Lord and who look to him. But I never knew that. We trusted more in Mary, the Virgin Mary, than we did in Christ. It wasn't Christ at all. It was Mary and the saints and what they could do and all the rest. My grandparents lived out in the country, a little thatched house. And you know, they were earnest in their own way. And when we were down, myself and my sister Anne, we used to be down in the summertime playing. And every evening at 6 o'clock or thereabouts, we would be called in for to say prayers, the rosary, the rosary beads. This happened continually. And as I often say, very often we weren't in for very long because we'd be tittering and laughing, and the next thing we'd be taken by the scruff of the ear and put outside. And that's what happened. But that was their belief. And they prayed to Mary. Well, brethren, tonight, as we think about prayer in the home, do we pray? Do we have a family altar? I trust we do. And if you're a young couple tonight and you're starting out, pray together and have your time of prayer in your home and with your children. It is vital that you pray. The family altar is very, very special. And so that was the rigmarole. In pure darkness with regard to the way of salvation. But this dear man was a link in the chain. I'm a strong believer in the providence of God. Nothing happens by chance. There is a personal providence. There's the providence and the sovereignty of God. And you're here tonight. It's not by chance you're here. You've come tonight and you've sung the hymns. We've heard the gospel even in the hymns. And you have an opportunity tonight to be converted and to be saved. That man, dear old Victor Bennett, he's gone to glory now, but he sowed the seeds of the gospel in my heart. I used to argue with him because for this very reason, being brought up in the Church of Rome, we were told and taught at school that we were the one true faith. We were it. We were right. Everybody else was wrong. We were it. We were the true church. Other people might have a little bit of truth, but we were the one true church. Oh, what an awful deception. What an awful lie. Church of Rome is an apostate church. That's what it is. Gone away from God and gone away from the gospel. And we ought to pray continually that God will save a people and bring them out of it for his glory and for his honor. For they have shut up the way of salvation to the people. And dear people do their best in earnest paying and everything else and pay their money and do all they can by way of good works. But now look at the state of the country. It's turned out now in the south of Ireland. It has turned out to be just a materialistic country. Anti-God, anti-Christ, anti the things of God. Secular society. Look at the awful ruin has been left there. Awful trail of disaster. People not opened, not given to the gospel, not preached, depending on their own good works, and have been deceived. Oh, how deceptive the devil is. How deceptive the devil is. What an awful snare he can bring upon people. But as I say, that man sowed the seeds of the gospel in my heart. I never forgot, though I wasn't saved at that time, but nevertheless, I remembered his words, and his words stayed with me. That's the amazing thing. He used to say to me, he was just a down-to-earth farmer, and I remember his words as plain to this day. I remember him saying to me on one occasion, he said, you know, he said, we're out looking out into a hayfield. He said, you know something? He said, a man could be saved in that field. What he was saying was a man in that field could call upon the Lord and could be converted and saved. Just there in that field. And he was right, of course. Wherever the place may be, or the circumstances, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I went away like a lot of young fellas, teenager, out into the world, and got away from home as well and the restraint of parents. We were brought up fairly strictly in that, I mean, we didn't step out of line at home, but either my mother or my father. We didn't step out of line. But all the things are going on today, crime and everything else, I can tell you there was rule and there was law and order in the house. There was 12 of us, there were 7 boys all together. Sometimes we got into fights on the floor, I remember, and my mother would step in and she could sort us out fairly quickly. And so could my father as well. But I got away from home and away from restraint and got out into the world to drinking and other things as well. But yet in all that time, bad company, in all that time, I didn't forget what I'd heard. I remember one occasion praying. I actually prayed on one occasion, God help me in this situation. I was far away from home. I was over in England and had all my money spent. A few pounds I had saved up was spent. And I remember praying one night, God, help me in this situation. Came back home, back to the village where I came from. And I remember on one day going to the post office. I went to the post office and shop, all in one, in the country. And you could have bought your few groceries there and a little post office as well. There were no telephones at that time in the homes, and just you had to make a phone call. You had to go into the post office to make the phone call. But I went in one day and I went in to buy cigarettes. Bought my cigarettes, come out again, and was heading home. And this other young fella come out behind me. We got into conversation. He told me his story of how he was converted and how he was saved. He'd been an alcoholic, on the verge of taking his own life. But somebody witnessed to him, and he was wonderfully and gloriously saved. I was back in 1975, coming up to Christmas time. And that night I went to see him, and he opened the Word of God to me and read some verses. I can't tell you where he read from, but that night I trusted the Lord. I trusted the Lord that night and asked the Lord to save me. I went on from there. In the village where I was, there was a little Faith Mission Prayer Union that used to take place, I think it was every second Friday night or maybe every Friday night there, and people would meet for to pray. The Faith Mission were strong down that part of the country. And there was a little prayer meeting held. And I started to attend the prayer meeting. I didn't have a Bible, but somebody gave me, I think maybe it could have been a John's Gospel, I'm not sure. And I started to read the gospel. And at night time, I used to read from this gospel. And shortly after I was converted, I left the Church of Rome. And that was a very difficult time. Not that I had any regrets about leaving the church, but there was terrible opposition. Opposition from family and opposition from friends. And very bad feeling as well in the district, in the area where I lived, because it was a fairly mixed part of the country area, and bad feeling in it, bitterness. And so there was very bad opposition. My grandfather was a devout Roman Catholic. And my parents, my father wasn't really, you couldn't call him devout. I don't think he cared one way or the other about religion. But the family, there was a lot of opposition. My grandfather took me down, I remember, on one occasion for to see the priest. For he told the priest I was going to leave the church. And so we went down to see the priest. And he told him that I was going to leave and could he do something about it. I remember my grandfather telling the priest, he said, now, he was very straightforward. He said to the priest, you know, he said, I was always told that anyone outside the Roman Catholic faith is lost. That's what he said to the priest. So, of course, he was thinking of me. Am I going to be lost? That's the darkness of false religion. That's the darkness of Rome. That's the lie. That's the counterfeit. That's the snare of the enemy, of the devil. What an awful snare it is. But the priest, to be fair to him, replied and said to my grandfather, he said, I don't believe that, he said, for one minute. Now, I don't know. He was, in one sense, he was a bit of an exception in that way, because he didn't oppose me. Didn't come down fast and hard. He said, if that's what the young fellow wants to do, he says, that's what he wants to do. Got no trouble whatever from him, but rather from the people round about. So after, to make a long story short, things came to a head and I had to leave home and leave the area. But I wouldn't be the first one that that's happened to. There's many Protestant people, Church of Ireland people, other people have told me the awful opposition as well. They have gotten to being converted and they've left their church from neighbours and friends and family. So there's nothing unusual about that whatever. Some people have not only had to leave their district, but they've had to get out of the country. And you see, the gospel sometimes, it's not the gospel that's wrong, but it's opposition to the gospel. That happens. The gospel is not always received and welcomed and embraced. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. That's the way the unconverted man looks at it. Foolishness. Gets his back up. He gets angry. As I read this passage of Scripture tonight, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it doesn't matter whether the man is Protestant, Roman, Catholic, it gets his back up when he is told his good works and his good life and his merits cannot save him. He's ruined. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. A whole bag of filthy rags. Just to be fit to be taken and to be burned. That's what it all amounts to, men and women. So don't depend. Do not depend upon your background to save you. Whether you're Protestant or Romanist, all have sinned. You must be born again. You must be saved. And the only thing can take away your sins is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I went away from home, but God undertook for me. And a short time after that, a few years after that, I felt the call of the Lord into the faith mission in Edinburgh. Went to the faith mission there and did my 2 years and went out on the missions for a while. Met my wife there. She's from Liverpool, the far side of the Mersey. And we went on from there. It was in Liverpool. That's where I met the Reverend Fleming, Hillis Fleming. And really through our brother Hillis that I got to know about the Free Church and come into the Free Church. That's all almost, in fact, it is over 30 years ago now. Years go in very quickly, don't they? And the Lord has kept me to this very moment. But you know, as I said at the start, testimonies, yes. But we need an up-to-date testimony. And the more we go on, we want to love the Lord more, be more sanctified, more holy. I often think it's what we are in private is what we are. No better than what we are. What we are in private, when I'm alone with my thoughts, in my study, in my home, wherever it might be. It's what we are in the inner man, what we are in private, in secret, is what we really are. Been thinking about that more and more. Easy to put on an old veneer, isn't it? An outward show, a kind of an act, polish job. It's no use. We need to be real and earnest about the things of God, about our love for Christ, seeking to mortify the deeds of the flesh, crucify the old man, or sin. Always at battle and overcome sin. For there's still that old nature in every one of us. There's still that old part in every one of us that would wreck us and ruin us. Only for the grace of God, where would I be? Even as a Christian, as a child of God, nothing to brag about. It's a miracle the Lord didn't throw me on the scrap heap years ago. Dismiss me altogether. All our boasting and all our merit is in Christ and in Him alone. What about your soul tonight, young person in the meeting? It's a solemn thing, as I said, eternity, isn't it? And if you were to die tonight, and if you're to be summoned into the presence of God this very night, where would you be in eternity? Where would you be? There's a heaven, praise God for heaven and glory. There's also a hell. There's a hell. I can't put it into words. I can't describe how awful it is for a poor soul to be launched out into eternity, to a lost eternity, and to perish forever and ever, to be lost. Read of that rich man who in hell lift up his eyes in torments. How awful. But that's the good news of the gospel, isn't it? It is good news. It is glad tidings. The best word, message the world has ever heard. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he's able to save you tonight. And he's able to bless you and keep you and take away your sins. And he's able to lead you on with himself. I would exhort you tonight, be in time, and come to him. Man is saved by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, not by the saints or Mary or by works or anything else, by faith in Christ. He's all you need, and all the merit you'll ever need you find in him. That's the glory of the gospel, isn't it? And just a couple of years ago, we were thinking about the Reformation and Martin Luther. Wasn't that the great message? The just shall live by faith. Thank God it's not me, who I am or where I come from or anything else or what I can give or what I can do. No, it's by faith alone in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You can be saved tonight. Only come and trust him with all your heart. May the Lord bless these few words of testimony to us. Amen.
Let's bow in prayer tonight. And on your behalf, we want to thank the Reverend Power for coming, speaking to us. And that verse that he left before us, all have sinned. It doesn't matter what religion you were brought up in or no religion. We're all brought up in sin, born in sin. And how is it tonight with your soul? How is it tonight with you? Is it well with you? Where will you be in God's eternity? Eternity is full of the self-righteous Protestants tonight. Hell is full as well of those who have sought to work their way and do their best. Tonight, heaven is full of those who by faith, simple faith, as the Reverend Parr did, trust the Lord Jesus Christ and only Him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What is it you're depending on tonight? Where is your faith tonight? If it's not in Christ, then you're on your way to a lost eternity. But the good news of the gospel is that you come to Jesus Christ, be saved. He'll receive you. He'll save you. Matters not how you've lived. Matters not what you've done. You give your heart and life to Jesus Christ tonight. He'll pardon your sin. Make you ready for heaven. Will you come to Him tonight? Will you come tonight and be saved? You want to speak to the Reverend Parr and myself? You have a concern this night? You want to be saved? You want to start for Christ? Then you speak to us this evening. We'd only be too happy to take the time and from the Scriptures show you how you can be saved. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee this evening for the account of another life saved. We thank the Lord for that moment when You opened the eyes of the blind. We thank the Lord tonight when the darkness was dispelled and the light of the gospel shone in. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that this night, that what You've done in the life of the Reverend Parr, we rejoice, O God, tonight that You can do in the life of each one who's still not saved. Well, Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight You'd be pleased to speak on, work on. We thank Thee for help given tonight to Thy servant as he has spoken to us. We praise Thee, Lord, tonight that He has made much of Christ. He has uplifted His Savior. Lord, Thou hast said in Thy word, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto Me. Therefore, O God, we pray that tonight You'd be pleased by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to draw sinners to Thyself. Save in this meeting tonight, we pray. We ask, O God, that this night sinners may come and settle the eternal destiny of their soul for heaven and for home. Speak on, we pray. Thank Thee, Lord, for help given. But, O God, we pray now that as the voice of man falls silent, may Thy voice strive. May Thy Spirit work tonight. And, Lord, bring the lost to Thyself. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Let's close with the words of hymn number 221.